You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
And welcome to the show, everyone. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and a certified financial planner on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen each and every week at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org, especially for our listeners who are outside of our, what do you call that, Neil?
The listening area.
The listening area. So you can go online. So my sister in Ohio can sign up online and listen. And my sister in Ohio is also a member. So if you are not currently a member, you can always go to the website, wdiy.org, and find out how to become a member as well. We appreciate your support because there's lots of volunteers here who help run this wonderful station for all of you listeners. Today is January 30th, 2013. The markets were down slightly today. The Dow closing at 13,910, the NASDAQ at 3142, and the S&P at 1501. Happy to have you all here. Last week, I discussed positioning yourself for a job search, and I had as my guest Bonnie Sharps of DHR International out of Philadelphia, and it was a great show. Bonnie had lots of great information. She happens to be an executive recruiter, a retained executive recruiter, in particular for the healthcare industry, and she does executive searches for the positions such as CEO, CFO, COO, and all the C's. There's a term for that. I don't know what it is, but lots of C's. So we thank Bonnie for being here last week. Tonight, I am going to discuss tax tips from the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants. That's the PICPA, and also working with a CPA. And I am very fortunate this evening to have a CPA with me. We are going to have so much fun, because us CPAs like talking about tax things. So tonight's going to be a great night, especially for people who need some tax tips for tax season coming up. We are live. Andrea is here to answer your calls and take down your information. She will ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without confusion, because there's a little bit of a delay. So we ask you to mute your radio when you call in. You can either talk live on the air with us, which we really enjoy, or you could just give your question to her and she will bring it into the studio and we will do our best to answer the question. We discuss general financial planning topics, not specific investments, and while we do typically have a topic each week, you still can ask questions off topic. The number to call in this evening, write it down right now because I might forget to say the number. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. And as I mentioned, I have a CPA in the studio with me this evening. Her name is Sherry Hutchinson Free. That doesn't mean her services are free. Her last name is Free, F-R-E-E-H. She is a CPA and a CGMA, and she's here to discuss working with a CPA and tax tips from the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants, and we are so happy to have her here. She is a principal with Hutchinson, Gillihan, and Free, a public accounting firm in Quakertown, and she's a member of the American and Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants. She serves on the governing council for both the AICPA and the PICPA. She's a busy woman, and is the immediate past president of the PICPA, which is a membership organization for CPAs with a strong membership of about 21,000, and that is Pennsylvania, folks. She is a member and past chairperson of the PICPA Committee on State Taxation and of the PICPA Local Tax Task Force. That is something to reckon with. She also serves as a member or director of many local boards or organizations. She has over 30 years of experience in the field of public accounting and offers a wide variety of expertise in accounting issues For privately held businesses, nonprofit organizations, local governments, estates, trusts, and individuals. So quite a career, Sherry. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Thank you for being here. I'm very excited about this, I'm very happy. I think it was Kathleen maybe from the PICPA that sent us a message, and I appreciate that they want to get the message out into the community about the PICPA. Now, I gave a description of what you do, but can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Well, as you mentioned, I've been involved in public accounting for about 30 years now. I guess I'm kind of aging myself here. I enjoy all aspects of public accounting. And the really sad thing is I truly love my job. I love the public part of public accounting. And I'm sure you as a CPA have the same situation, just dealing with the public and helping the public with whatever tax or accounting issue they have that come up. In addition to all the tax information, we also, my firm does a lot of auditing work. We audit a lot of small nonprofits, local governments. Actually, I spent my day out at a township today.
Okay.
Handling, you name it, we handle it.
Okay. I haven't done audits in a while, but it's interesting that you say how much you love public accounting and working with the public, because I think that there is this misnomer, if that's the right word, or misrepresentation that CPAs are all bean counters and we don't have personalities. There's a few of us that have personalities.
I always like to point out that that I'm not sitting in a little cubicle every day. I'm not sitting there with a calculator. I'm actually out on the road, and when I go out to speak to high school students about careers in accounting, I like to point out that I'm not a short, fat, bald man with glasses, and I'm not stuck in a cubicle.
Well, what else would people be surprised to learn about CPAs and what they do? You kind of gave a little highlight, but what else?
There is an extremely wide variety of information that CPAs handle. I dealt with I was at a seminar one time, and one of the most rising areas in public accounting is forensic accounting. Mm-hmm. And this is can be crime investigation, white-collar crime investigation. And I met a man who worked for the FBI, and he was an accountant, a CPA, and he said he called his group Geeks with Guns because they carry guns and they do law enforcement. But in addition to that, there's also, there's areas in terms of being entertainment accountants. You could be a controller or a CEO for a major corporation. When I speak to high school and college students, I like to point out the sky's pretty much the limit. I mean, you as a CPA, there's just so many avenues you can get involved with.
Which is one of the reasons I actually went into accounting, because our listeners may have heard this story many times. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher, and there were no teaching jobs. And so business was a big thing back then, and accounting was the hardest curriculum within the business school, in as I had perceived it. And I thought, accounting, I can do anything with it. Mm-hmm. And, I work in financial services, which is different than auditing, which is different than the forensic accounting you mentioned, which is different than the entertainment. And I quite often will tell young people, too, if you're good at math and you actually like math, and it doesn't have to be extremely complicated math.
I say the same thing. I'm always telling them.
Addition.
If you can add, subtract, multiply, and divide on a calculator.
Right.
And if you're organized and have good communication skills, you can be an accountant.
Yeah. and it's so interesting because it's also a lot of problem solving, don't you find?
Yes, definitely. You have to really have a logical thought process, get from point A to point B. Definitely.
Yeah. And that's what also makes it fun, and that you can go into so many areas with it, because there are always going to be accountants. Even if the whole tax system was restructured and taxes went away, you still always need someone to keep track of, revenues or expenses, and are we paying our bills and doing the budgets and things like that. So I think there would always be a need for that.
I hope so.
You're also a member of the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants, and you are the past president. We have just about a minute before our first break. Can you briefly tell me a little bit about the PICPA, and then we can follow up after the break?
Sure. PICPA, we have about 20,000, 21,000 members up and down, and we are basically the premier accounting group, professional group for CPAs in the state, and we are then also a state organization underneath the American Institute of CPAs, and we serve to provide professional education, We do advocacy in terms of accounting, and actually the advocacy part is something that's very near and dear to me, and part of the reason I'm on the local tax task force, which, yes, is kind of like a tongue twister, is because we've gotten involved with a lot of advising with state legislatures and, you know, helping to draft and look over tax bills to so that the legislators actually know what it is they're signing.
Which, folks, when the listeners who are paying attention to this, you might not even realize how that trickles down and impacts even individuals who aren't using CPAs. It comes into play when we're looking at how the local taxing authorities are collecting taxes, I imagine, when you're advocating for...
I'm really sorry about that. I actually helped draft that law.
Okay. Yeah, but at least now it's getting a little bit more streamlined.
So we went from 500 tax collectors down to about 20.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that we're all going to benefit from that. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the PICPA, using a CPA, and some tax tips. If you have questions, you can call in at 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
There are many ways to support WDIY, but one really fun way is to attend our annual party. Join us Saturday, February the 2nd at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown for our Winter Blast. We'll have food, drinks, dancing, and live music from John Carlos Sanchez, followed by the Lehigh Valley Soul Project. Proceeds will support our diverse programming, and this special event will help keep us on track financially. Tickets are just $45 for members, $60 for non-members, and can be purchased online at wdiy.org or by calling the station.
And welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am in the studio with my guest, Sherry Free. She is a CPA and a principal at the public accounting firm of Hutchinson, Gillihan, and Free in Quakertown, and lots of involvement in the professional organizations and advocating for good tax legislation, etc. And she's a past president of the PICPA, which is the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants, and we're going to share some tips tonight with folks on taxes and where they can get some of that information. But first, we had a call come in off air from Ted in Allentown. Thank you for calling, Ted. Folks, if you do have questions, you can call in and talk live on air or off air. The number is 610-758-8810. And Ted had asked, a first-time investor on a rental property, and he asked, can you deduct mileage for driving to do repairs, collect rent, etc.? And I would say yes, because you're running back and forth and managing the property. I strongly suggest, Ted, though, that you keep very good records, because the IRS looks for what they call contemporaneous record keeping, which means you're keeping track of these trips that you're making at the time you're making them. So just keep a log in your glove compartment or some way to gauge those trips and how many times you're taking them. And they may even ask what you were doing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they usually want to know the who, what, when, where, why kind of thing. And then you can use that mileage then to apply the applicable federal standard mileage rate to, which right now is, I think, 56.5 cents a mile for 2013.
Yeah, so it could be a big deduction for you, Ted. And if you do the standard mileage rate, which for me always seems much, much simpler than keeping track of actual expenses, sometimes actual expenses for cars are more applicable to someone who's like using their car like 100% or 90% in their business. For you, you're not running there all the time, and the mileage probably isn't going to be nearly that much of your as your personal. So standard mileage, you keep track of the miles, you multiply it times that rate that Sherry had mentioned, and it's a deduction for you. Then don't keep track of your gas or your insurance or those kinds of things, because that is kind of built in to that standard mileage. What we don't want to see people doing, especially people who are preparing returns on their own, they try to take a standard mileage, and then they also try to take deductions for their gas and their insurance, and it doesn't work that way. It's one or the other. Your standard mileage plus, I think you can do things like tolls, but I don't know if you would have tolls or parking in this situation. So Ted, thanks for the call. It was a great question. And folks, if anyone else has questions this evening, you got two people who love this kind of stuff in the studio, 610-758-8810. We've been talking to Sherry a little bit about her involvement with the PICPA. I think it's important, Sherry, that we also let our listeners know how the members benefit. You mentioned continuing education. Let's just talk a minute about how that benefits the members. I'm a member of the PICPA as well. I think I love getting the emails. And there's also something that people may not be aware of, that through the PICPA, we as members have like a discussion group where you can submit questions if you have a problem and that type of thing. So let's talk about some of the benefits that the members get for being in the PICPA and how that affects taxpayers that we're preparing tax returns for.
To be a CPA, I mean, to continue to have your license, you know this as well as I do, we have to have continuing professional education, and we have to have the minimum of 80 hours every 2 years. The PICPA runs some really great educational programs. We have conferences, state tax conferences, to help our members learn about the various state taxes. We have multi-tax conferences. A new conference is the conference on Marcellus Shale, which is a new situation where a lot of taxpayers in the Pocono region are selling some real nice gas leases and coming into some big money that they weren't expecting. So there's a lot of education there on how to properly treat those payments. In addition, we offer a lot of webinars because we know as CPAs we're very busy people. So you can do it from the convenience of your home or work at your computer. And, also we have our quarterly publication for the Journal of Accountancy, which has some really great information, some great timely articles. But also the advocacy is a huge benefit in terms of being the voice for our profession in Harrisburg. I have testified before House and Senate Finance Committee hearings on various pieces of legislation. And the nice thing is, a lot of times with this legislation, we all know after hearing about the fiscal cliff, when they try to pass legislation quickly, or if somebody's not involved in the legislative process that knows something about the effects of it, they tend to pass legislation that nobody thinks about those little ramifications that could affect every member of every member of PICPA or every taxpayer in Pennsylvania. So we pay careful attention to legislation, and anything we think is going to affect us or our clients, we will speak up on, and we will help to educate the legislators on that.
Mm-hmm. And there's also I didn't want to give too much away when I was talking about, even within the membership, there's a resource for us to ask other members questions, which I love.
The nice thing about what we call it, the taxation listserv, it's great, especially for the preparers or CPAs who are not in a public accounting firm where they may not have somebody to bounce ideas off of. So it's a wonderful forum to be able to put information out there and get feedback, especially for our small members, our sole proprietors who don't have that resource. It also is a great way to get information out. I mean, I go on almost every day to see what's trending, what's being posted. Right. And I learn a lot from everybody on the listserv.
Yeah. Well, because there's, even in all of our years of experience, sometimes you don't see everything. And so it's kind of fun to see these one-offs once in a while. And you kind of can put it in the back of your mind that if it ever comes up, you have some resources
available.
Well,
and I always try to remember, I don't know everything. There is no way that you can memorize the entire tax code or even the Financial Accounting Standard Board statements. But having that resource helps, and then knowing where to look things up also, knowing the other resources.
And it also goes to show how, I think, diligent the CPAs are being to make sure, hey, I just want to bounce this off the group. You know, this is the case. This is the facts and circumstances. Does this sound right? And it's just wonderful to be able to have that opportunity, but that the CPAs are also being so careful and making sure they're doing everything.
Well, the nice thing is members of the PICPA staff actually monitor the listserv. So if they see trending topics, they will use that to maybe develop an article for the journal. They will use that in terms of our government relations in Harrisburg and let legislators know this is an issue for the public and for PICPA and our members as well.
You know, it's funny, when I first moved to Pennsylvania, I came from Michigan, and the
surprise,
the Pennsylvania tax return just totally flabbergasted me.
I wrote
a nice letter to the Department of Revenue asking them to reconsider how they calculate the tax in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I didn't get a response.
Pennsylvania
though
is extremely unique. I just want to give you your little factoid for the day. Pennsylvania has more than 3,000 taxing jurisdictions. That's more than all other 49 states combined. The next closest is Ohio with about 600.
That's crazy.
So we are very unique in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I know when I was in Michigan, it was a one-off to have a local jurisdiction. And then when I moved here, I didn't even, the first couple of years, I didn't even realize there was a local jurisdiction. I kind of knew, but I didn't know we actually had to file a tax return. I thought it was just taken out of your pay. It just automatically went there. So it's been interesting. But anyway, that's another story sometime. When we come back from our next break, we're going to talk about some tax tips and what's new in taxes this year. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And we are back. Thank you, Neil, for playing my Vivaldi. It puts me in the mood. I end up having to listen to Vivaldi all through tax season.
Oh.
it helps me focus. We are talking about tax tips and working with a CPA tonight. If you have questions, you can call in at 610-758-8810. You know, because the radio dial is 88.1, so that's an easy way for you to remember the phone number, 610-758-8810. And I have in the studio with me this evening Sherry Free. She was a CPA out of Quakertown, and we're talking about tax tips. We're talking about working with the PICPA and the resources they have, and we're going to get to that a little bit as we go through the show and talking about different tax tips through the show, kind of going back and forth, talking about all the benefits of working with a CPA as well. So this time of year, Sherry, many people are making appointments with their, you know, financial advisor. I would say probably their accountants. An accountant might not be a CPA. It could be an enrolled agent. It could be someone who is now maybe a registered tax return preparer. Or you don't have to be. Some rules changed on that.
That's,
we won't get into
story,
that.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about, you know, now it's time. Tax time's coming up. People are going to start making their appointments. What are some tips that we might give the folks tonight? And what's new in taxes this year that they need to be aware of? Probably on the forefront.
Yeah, one of the biggest things that I think that people need to be aware of is that the IRS has kind of delayed tax filing season. We've had clients bring in information, but technically until today, and I wasn't in the office today, so I don't know if actually the returns went through, but the IRS did not open the e-file system until today. And even then, we're told that there are certain forms that we still are not able to e-file. And it could be as late as March. So if you go to your tax preparer and he or she gets your tax return done and then tells you, I'm sorry, I can't file it yet, please don't be upset at your tax preparer because with the fiscal cliff legislation going through at the very last minute, the IRS had a lot of updating of forms to do.
You know, I think that the word must be getting out about that a little bit because normally we probably would have already filed a bunch of tax returns. And, you know, I think we've had probably just a handful come in so far. So yeah. I think people are waiting. So the caution there is you don't have to wait just because we have to wait.
Right. Right. Actually, we've had people bring in, I encourage people, bring it in early because if you get it into your tax preparer early, even if we can't submit it to the IRS yet, we can at least get it done and that it's ready to submit. And that way you're kind of missing the rush because right. you take something into a tax preparer in March, it could take several weeks till right. it's done. Whereas if you bring it in now, we can get it done in days.
Right, right. And at least get it started right. and kind of like in the hold pile at least. So what other big things? So that was a big one. The IRS delays tax filings. So it's the window is opened up for some taxpayers now, probably quite a few taxpayers. There are some delays like for the American Opportunity Credit, that's Form 8863, I think. I don't remember all the forms.
Your memory's
off the top
better
of my
than
head.
Mine, right?
Okay, so there are certain forms that the IRS is saying will be a little delayed, and as Sherry had mentioned, I think some other ones were even as into March. Also, folks, sometimes people are waiting for their 1099s to come in, and those may be delayed depending on who the custodian was that they may ask for extensions and that kind of thing. So, and we're seeing
actually,
more of that.
Actually, the 1099 is an interesting situation because when they originally passed the health care law, there was a small provision in there that they wanted everybody to do 1099s for every payment through a business. And suddenly somebody realized, okay, that's a little bit too much. Now, this year, there has been an expansion. So people who do service-type work, who do repairs and maintenance, who do lawn mowing, that type of thing, they may see more 1099s coming to them because people who own rental properties now have to do 1099s.
Oh, for 2013?
Yes.
Oh,
And for 2012, actually.
Oh, okay.
There's actually, the IRS has added questions to some of their tax forms saying, were you required to file 1099s and did you file them? So there's been a crackdown on getting 1099s filed properly and a lot more businesses, charitable organizations, rental property owners, they're filing the 1099s.
Okay. We have a caller online, too. And, Neil, I think we can probably do this quick enough that we can get it before the break. Carolyn, are you online?
I am.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Good, Lori. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in. I recognize.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. You have a question this evening?
Yes, I do. I hope you can help me. My husband and I are board members of a small environmental group. It's a watershed group.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our 501(c) tax-exempt status in place for a number of years, but we were notified last February that this tax-exempt status has been revoked automatically because we had not filed for 3 years, which
yeah.
wasn't quite true, and is a long story. I don't want to get into it. But what we did then after getting this notice was we filled out all the forms and submitted our reapplication, jumped through all the hoops that, you know, they set up for us. And then in September, we did receive notification that they reviewed our application and they determined that our 501(c)(3) status should be returned.
Oh, good.
So there's a period, though, of a good chunk of last year, it's about 8 months, that we had been revoked. Now, my question is if anybody had donated any money to our organization, are they able to claim that as donation to a 501(c)(3) if it was during that time?
Well, I think, Carolyn, that they revoked it, but it wasn't like probably a true revocation if they came back and said, oh, we realize you really weren't.
They generally, once they reinstate it, they will reinstate it retroactively.
So I think
terrific.
You should be fine. Okay.
Okay. That's what I thought I understood from them, but when I wanted to clarify it, they're just so hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah. And you know what? I just want to point out that also, I'm a firm believer that and people might laugh at this, but I think it's true. I think the IRS actually will be quite reasonable with you if we are reasonable with them. And if you showed that there was some misunderstanding in the filings and that you had been filing properly, or that you, you know, weren't aware, and you can demonstrate, you know, good intentions and everything and document that, I think you're on a better leg with them. But the IRS was very active a few years ago coming out and warning people with 501c3 status or tax exempt status. It didn't even have to be a charity. They were coming out and saying, hey, folks, we need to hear from you. We need filings, whether it's just a postcard filing or whatever. 501c3s are a little bit more complicated. There's more requirements, and it's much more difficult than a lot of people realize. You have to make sure donations are coming in and things like that, other right. than just from yourself. So it's very complicated, but I'm glad you got it all straightened out and are back on good footing with them. So good
so
job
much. You
on
know,
that.
That's what happened early on, several years ago, when there was other board members, they were told by the IRS that they didn't have to file because we're so small time. It's under, you know, $10,000.
Right.
And then the notifications came right around the time that the board was changing, and we didn't realize. And we actually filed, but we filed late, so then they didn't count it. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you got it straightened out.
Thank you
Thanks
so
much. Thanks for calling, Carolyn. Have a great night.
Thanks.
Talk
you
to you
too.
Soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Folks, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue taking calls for 610-758-8810. Back in a sec. And we are back with Your Financial Choices. Your host, Lori Siebert, speaking. I'm a CPA and a certified financial planner, and I have with me this evening Sherry Free, who's also a CPA and a CGMA. You're going to have to tell me what that is. And
that is a chartered global managerial accountant. It's basically for managerial accountants.
Okay. Yeah, something I probably wouldn't want to do.
No.
That's the beauty of what we talked about at the beginning of the show, that you could do so many
so
different
much,
things.
Right.
With accounting. I love encouraging young people to consider accounting. I really think it's been a great career. I've done so many different things with it. We had another call come in from Allentown. We had Albert call in, and he said, my CPA retired. I've been shopping around for a new tax preparer, but the rates are all over the map that I'm being quoted. What should I expect to pay for a preparation of a simple return? Do you want me to go ahead and
Well, I think you're correct that the rates are all over the map. You know, a lot of it can depend on whether you're going to somebody with a lot of experience or a little experience, if you're going to a tax preparer that has a CPA versus not having a CPA. You know, the CPA designation generally lets you know that there's an extra level of expertise, that we've gone to school, we've passed a very rigorous test. There's the returns that we do through our office generally aren't the simple returns. I mean, mm-hmm. they're more complex returns, but CPAs do simple returns. I know in our office, it all depends on the amount of time that we spend.
Right.
You probably want to ask, if you're calling a CPA, you want to ask what's their hourly rate, because the hourly rate generally dictates what the return is going to cost. And if it's a very simple return, you know, it might take an hour to do. If it's very complex, it could take several hours. You know, the range in our office we've got returns as low as maybe $100, but we go up to several thousand for taxpayers. I mean, I have one taxpayer, I think his return printed out is probably about 4 inches thick.
Right.
It's
right.
a very complicated return. So you're going to see a wide variety. But, you know, if you're more organized, you can keep your prices down. I keep telling clients, the more you organize your records, the less adding and summarizing that I have to do, the more you have it totaled, the less your bill's going to be.
And that's one of the great tax tips, I think, that we should highlight tonight as well. A tax tip, especially if you're going to use a paid preparer. And frankly, we as preparers like when you're more organized, even if it's going to take less time, which means we get paid less.
Well, we're going to reward you by charging you
less. Yes, because we love when our clients are organized, because by nature, us accountants, we like things, you know, put in the correct boxes and everything. But Albert, I agree with Sherry. I think that the prices can be all over the map. And sometimes what you'll find at a firm is if you have a simple return, you can call up and say, I have a simple return. Now, what you think might be simple might not not be simple. And sometimes people have very complicated returns that in their mind are simple. They don't realize they're complicated. But you truly might have a simple return. If you have a W-2 and maybe a Schedule A, which are itemized deductions, that could be a fairly simple return. But if you walk in with a box of receipts for your charitable deductions, if you want to pay a CPA to organize that for you, you're going to pay more money. And then what could have been a simple return, you just made more complicated. So one of the tax tips, you know, to give clients, taxpayers listening, is, you know, organize, put it in order. Now, and summarize. So you can have all those receipts at home because we need to make sure you have those receipts, but you can add them all up yourself and put a total. And we're okay with that as long as you've communicated to us that you have the receipts if you're ever in an audit. I'm trying to think what else I was going to say. So be organized. Oh, but one thing, I always think, oh, well, clients might think, well, gosh, if I've organized it all, then I've done the work. This is where, Sherry, maybe we could talk about why to use a CPA or not, because even if you're all organized and you have everything together, it's not just about inputting the numbers into
Correct.
The return. So talk a little bit about an advantage maybe of using a CPA.
They pay us to know where to put the numbers. if anybody has ever taken the time to actually look at an IRS form and read the legalese, you know, add this line, then subtract this line, then compare that line to this line, it's very complex putting those numbers into the proper places on a return. But there's also a lot of assessment and evaluation that goes into it, because you may have a situation where it's a question of, do I want to take my home interest deduction here on Schedule A, or do I have a home office? Would I get a better benefit there? Do I have a second home? Is it used? Do I use it as a rental property? Do I not use it as a rental property? There's questions involved as to where to get the best advantage for those deductions. And it's not always cut and dried. I kind of tease my one cousin. She'll do her return on TurboTax, and then she'll have me check it. And she's always like, wow, you found me more.
Yeah.
because sometimes when you're doing TurboTax, you don't know how to answer a question. It comes up with a series of questions,
right.
And you may not know what your answer means. And that level of expertise is what you're going to find with a CPA.
Right. And in your case of your cousin, you found her more. In the
right.
case of my friend who did the same thing and asked me to look at it, I saved him from being severely penalized for underpayment of tax because he had taken his deductions twice in two different places.
Yeah.
The deductions ended up on Schedule A and on Schedule E, and he double counted because he was just kind of following the prompts and entered the information twice.
Right. And some people get into investments, which you probably are aware of, that have forms that come out that may show losses, and they think they can deduct the whole thing, and they don't
right.
get to, and they don't understand.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, there can be some complexities that you really need to seek a very well-trained professional.
So, Albert, when you call, and I hope you're still listening, Albert, when you call and you talk about a simple return, giving a little bit of information also will help whomever you're speaking with assess maybe what kind of preparer you need to work with. So, for example, I'm sure in Sherry's firm as well, if we have preparers in the firm that are not CPAs, maybe they're enrolled agents, their rate might be less. We could have people who might be putting in the data entry, their rate might be less. The returns are still being reviewed by a CPA, but if we can get some of that work done by someone with a lower rate, that saves you as well. So you can ask, will I be charged the $100 rate or will I be charged the $250 rate? It all depends probably on the complexity of your return, but the more information you can kind of give, like, oh, yes, I have just a W-2.
I think a lot of accountants will also give you a range. They're not, since we don't know what your records look like,
right.
We hesitate to give you a flat fee,
right.
But we will generally provide a range, a low and a high.
And it also helps if you bring in your prior year's tax return, which they will need anyway, to kind of look at to see if there's any different circumstances. So thank you for the call, Albert. We appreciate it. Folks, if you have other questions this evening, you can call in at 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So we were talking about some tax tips. So we talked about that the IRS is delaying maybe the time that we can actually submit the return, Sherry. Some we can submit now. Some, you know, there's like a calendar. We'll watch that, but it shouldn't keep people from at least gathering their information, getting ready, and either getting it over to their accountant or, you know, starting their own input, however they do that. So don't let the IRS delays delay you. That's one tip. The other tip is be organized, smart about how you're gathering your information and putting it together. Any other kind of new tax issues for 2012? Or?
Well, the funny thing is for 2012, there's not a whole lot of new information, but everybody heard all about the fiscal cliff, and that was in the news for how long. Realistically, the items in the fiscal cliff legislation affected moving forward. Mm-hmm. So 2012, I don't think you're going to see any significant changes in how the tax laws were for 2011. I mean, there are some differences. There's some things that expire. There's some things that may be slightly different, but the tax brackets were basically about the same. Your standard deduction goes up slightly. Your exemption level goes up slightly. You know, there's just some minor tweaks. The big changes are potentially coming in the future with the expiration of the Bush tax cuts, and I think that's a lot of what people are hearing about. So
that would be a tip for folks when they're doing their 2012 tax return and reviewing their 2012 tax return, is how is that going to look in 2013?
Right, because as many of us know, when we got our first paycheck in 2013, we had more taxes taken out because that the Social Security went up, what was withheld for the employers. So at the end of 2012, I was telling people, if you have an option of taking income in 2012 or 2013 that would be subject to that tax, hey, take it in 2012.
Right, right.
Now, we're beyond that at this point. But looking at your tax return, I mean, once you file your tax return for 2012 and you have it in your hand, most of the time people like to take that file and just put it away.
Right.
I'm done. I don't want to deal with it anymore. If you look at your tax return, I think you'll find that you can learn some stuff from it. Some tax planning tips. I know it's, if you look at your investment income, okay, you know, are there certain investments, and I'm sure you advise your clients all the time with the investments, mm-hmm. are there certain investments maybe I should be in because I'm at the edge of a tax bracket? Maybe tax frees are more, and I don't do financial planning.
Right.
That's not my area of expertise. I always tell people I can tell you generalities, but, I'm not mm-hmm. telling you the rest. But when it comes to, maximizing your deductions, the type of deductions that you have, look at what was on your 2012 return. It's a huge resource in doing some tax planning.
And, back to, I think, 2012, now that you just said that, too, about, I think you'd said it, at least it went in my brain, about maximizing deductions. For 2012, there are still a few little tax planning strategies that we could implement up until April 15th.
Yes, with retirement usually.
With retirement,
IRA contributions.
And Roth IRAs.
Yes.
So that is something, too, to pay attention to, people. For example, we have until April 15th to file. Let's pretend you're someone who could benefit from a contribution to an IRA, maybe a deductible IRA. It would lower your income a little bit. If that works for you, you'd want your tax preparer to kind of run the numbers with or without it. See if it impacts you. And guess what? If you would benefit from it and you say, but I don't have the money now. Well, guess what? You have until April 15th to file and still be able to make a contribution for 2012. So you could start saving in February and March and have the money in April and then possibly do that. Maybe you're someone who doesn't need that deduction and you just want to do a Roth contribution. You have to have earnings in order to do those kinds of contribution. So you want to pay attention to that. That's another tax tip. Look at your tax return and see what it's telling you. So let's talk for a minute, because we're going to have our next break in about a minute. Sherry, why is it a good idea to hire a CPA during tax season? We're already kind of getting some hints of that.
I'm a little biased on
yeah,
that
I think
one.
I think we both are.
I look at some people, I've had people come in with tax returns that have been done elsewhere, and I'll find mistakes. And I just think as your return gets more complicated, and this usually comes as we all get a little bit older, we get into different things, we have different deductions. If you're right out of high school and you have a W-2, no, your return is probably not that complicated, and you know, you can be served very well by other professionals. But as you get older and you get develop a family and you have more deductions and you know, more planning situations, you have retirement benefits to deal with, those are the types of issues that CPAs are specifically trained to deal with. We've had extensive education on this. You know, I don't even want to talk about what the CPA exam was like for taxation.
Yeah. That was my favorite part, actually.
Mine too, actually. How sad is that? Right? But, you know, it's a level of expertise, I think, that really you get with a CPA that you might not get with just one of the storefront, you know, if you're walking into the behind the little screen in Walmart and getting your taxes done.
Well, you know, too, folks, the other thing is sometimes there's a, I think, if you're not a CPA, there's this, incentive to kind of get tax returns done as fast as possible. Tax returns aren't always same as last year, and you have to look at them with fresh eyes every year. And fresh eyes requires fresh information that with those education requirements and all of those seminars we have to attend.
Plus, I think there's like a quality control type situation when you're sitting having a return done in your presence. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I do this with clients all the time. They'll ask me, can you rough it up while I'm here in for my appointment? It's like, you know what? I make mistakes when somebody's watching me do mm-hmm. this. Let me finish it up and then we'll give you a call when it's ready to pick up, because that's when I can be more thorough. I can look at their tax situation. A bell might ring and go, okay, you might get this benefit. I'm going to go look that up. That type of thing, plus every return that goes through our office, and I know most CPA offices are the same way, it's reviewed by another set of eyes. I think you mentioned earlier you may have somebody with a lower rate do it, but it's reviewed and approved by a CPA.
Right.
So there's a second set of eyes. You're not getting that in the while-you-wait situation. Yeah.
I have a caller on line one, but I want him to hold for our break, so please hold on the line. We will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY-FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have in the studio with me this evening, Sherry Free. We're having so much fun, she and I. she's a CPA and a principal at Hutchinson, Gillihan, and Free, a public accounting firm in Quakertown. And she is a member of the AICPA and the PICPA, the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants. And we're talking about the benefits of working with CPAs and also tax tips and PICPA members and how they benefit from that organization, which then trickles down to our tax clients and taxpayers benefiting from advocacy programs and awareness, et cetera, et cetera. We have a caller on line one. We have Jim. Jim, it's Lori. How are you? Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Hi. Well, my wife called in earlier about a watershed group that we belong to.
Okay. Yes. Love, Carolyn.
My question is, what are the advantages or disadvantages of filing with the postcard versus the full form? We're about under 20 members and under $5,000 in the bank and all volunteer.
Actually, the postcard is the simplest filing. It's basically going on to a website and just saying, yes, we still exist.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. The only problem, the only problem with that is if you're looking to apply for grants, a lot of times granting agencies want to see a 990, and when you do the postcard filing, you don't have an actual 990 to produce. That would be the only drawback that I could see. You know, the postcard, I have a lot of clients that just use the postcard. It's just so simple.
That's very good, because we are going to be applying for grants this year for documenting alien invasive plants in the watershed.
Yeah, you might want to do a 990 just to have it, because the granting agencies a lot of times will ask for a copy of it.
Wow, so. Jim, that was a great question follow-up then. I really like that, and that will help serve your purposes then as well.
I hope so. We're very small, and there's not that many of us that show up for meetings, but we are dedicated.
Passionate sounds like, people.
Sounds like a typical small nonprofit. Yeah, I've been on several of those boards myself.
Yeah. Okay, Jim, thank you for calling. I hope
that
helped.
Thank you very much.
Okay, have a good night.
Thanks.
Folks, if you have questions, we still have time. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Sherry, I want to make sure that we get to the consumer section of the PICPA website, what that website is.
Yeah, actually, there's some great resources. It's www.picpa.org. And there's actually a section there called Ask a CPA, where you can submit written questions, and then they send them to we CPAs who have agreed to respond to them. So I get those every once in a while. And a lot of our members are volunteers and help out. It's really great. But you can get actual advice from a CPA. There's also the Find a CPA section, where you can click on locate a CPA, enter a little bit of information about what you're looking for in terms of location, the types of services they offer, and it will give you some suggestions with names and phone numbers so you can contact a CPA. There's also, and I kind of laugh at this, PICPA TV. Woohoo! It's real exciting, but I have done several episodes on PICPA TV. I used to have to do an on-topic thing. I was horrible at it at first, but they got a teleprompter, and I was so much better then. but there's some very interesting bits of information on there. You can watch just short little things about Marcellus Shale and how it might affect you. You can watch things about taxation. There's some very interesting, they're almost like visual articles. And then there's also, sections on different financial topics. So if you're looking for a specific financial topic,
about retirement accounts,
yes,
or something,
you may be
like
able
that.
To find something like that. So just a wealth of resources. And I also always point out to students who may be thinking of getting into accounting, there's a whole section for potential, do I want to become a CPA type section, and what the requirements are, and help with that.
And let me just add, anyone who's thinking about becoming a CPA, it is so much easier than it used to be, because we used to have to sit for this comprehensive exam, two-day exam, four parts.
Two and a half days
it was 2 days when I took it.
I'm older than you then.
These depends on where you took it. Kids now can take one section at a time.
Yeah, on the computer.
It
is good.
Yeah, I was sitting next to a guy who was shaking so much, the whole table was shaking, and he left after about 10 minutes, and then I had the table to myself.
Well, I always tell people, when I took it, we were not allowed to have calculators.
Oh.
We had to have a pencil and a piece of paper, and we had to multiply out numbers like 27% of 8,300,000. It was ridiculous.
I got to use a calculator, but I can't imagine you're that much older than me, Sherry. Seriously, I'm seeing her in the studio, and she doesn't look older than me.
Thank you.
Is there a specific tax season page like that would be?
I'm not aware of a specific tax season page.
Do they have tax tips or anything?
They do have
like
tax tips. It's in the consumer section. There's probably some articles on various tax tips. But it's year-round. I mean, this is a resource that is there year-round. You're not just going to find it during tax season. So anytime you're looking to ask a CPA a question, the previous questions are on there, too. So if somebody else thought of the question, you can go to the Ask a CPA section, and you can see the response to some of the previous questions that may help you with your answer.
Okay. Folks, if you have questions, we still have time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I want to ask Sherry, too, though, can consumers actually interact in any other way with the PICPA? And what I mean by that is, you had mentioned earlier that they're advocates, for CPAs and for taxpayers in tax legislation and things like that. Is there a mechanism that if there are individuals who have, ideas about taxes or how it's taxes are, you know, collected or whatever in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Is there some kind of element on
Actually, I always point out to people, I mean, if you contact PICPA, our government relations department, and you can find those contacts on the web, they are an incredible resource. We have and actually have an office out in Harrisburg. It's literally across the street from the Capitol, and we have some of the most well-connected individual staff members out there. And if you have an idea, present it. They will bring it. We have committees that we deal with, and if they are presented with an idea, they generally will bring it to the committee. Like, I'm on the state taxation committee, so a lot of anything with state taxes or local taxes comes to our committee. If you have a federal tax idea, we have a federal taxation committee. We have a Marcellus Shale committee. We have a nonprofit committee. We have a health care committee. We have a lot of committees that deal with specific areas. And if you have an idea, they will bring it to us, and we'll discuss it and see if there's a way we can address it.
Oh, interesting. I have lots of ideas for the Pennsylvania.
Okay, we're going to be scared
taxation.
Now.
Well, one of the things, you know, since we're talking about Pennsylvania too, and we're talking about tax tips, there is something that I think it might be worth just kind of mentioning for our listeners that I think is becoming more apparent in the Pennsylvania tax return and the forms and how they're changing. And that is, logically, if you can understand this, listeners, if you are married filing joint and you have filed a married filing joint tax return in Pennsylvania for years, there's some little elements of it that might not make sense to you. Like if your husband has a $20,000 loss, capital loss on selling investments in his personal account that's not joint, that's a $20,000 loss, and wife has a $20,000 gain in her individual account that's not joint, they don't get to offset. And Pennsylvania doesn't recognize losses on investments as being able to offset any of your other income. And in this situation, what happens is you end up with a $20,000 capital gain on page one of your return, and you're saying, hey, wait a minute. My husband had a $20,000 loss. Wife had a $20,000 gain. Why aren't they offsetting? And in my mind, what I say is we are only filing in Pennsylvania jointly out of convenience. Pennsylvania is still looking at it as
two separate people. It's basically a
separate
return, but they allow you the convenience of filing it on one piece of paper. And you know, we've talked to the Department of Revenue. I meet quarterly with Department of Revenue officials, and the Secretary of Revenue and the Deputy Secretaries, and it's probably not going to happen. I hate to break the news to you because it would be a huge revenue hit for Pennsylvania, and they're having trouble balancing their budget to begin with. We did get a piece of legislation through this past year that we were very instrumental in helping to draft, and that is to allow. It used to be that if one spouse passed away during the year, you could not file a joint return with that spouse. You had to file two separate. We did get a law passed that you are permitted now
High
to
five
have
in the studio. Awesome.
You're permitted. We've also had some legislation go through to address some of the safe harbors on estimated taxes for Pennsylvania.
Because that got confusing.
It's real confusing.
It used
confusing.
To be you were okay safe, and then you find out you think you're safe and you're not
right.
safe.
Right. So we've addressed some of that so that in terms of the special tax forgiveness credit that they allow, if you suddenly were not eligible for that this year, you suddenly had to make estimated payments,
right.
but you had no tax the prior year.
Right, right.
So we've gotten them to take that into consideration. So this is some key
so that's
legislative
coming
victories.
Up, we hope.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's great. Any other resources consumers can use to improve their financial well-being? Are there resources?
Well, PICPA is really very involved with financial literacy, and we do a lot of programs. We actually do programs where we get out into the public to help teach people about their finances, how to do budgeting, that type of thing. A lot of the local libraries are helping to sponsor some of our programs, which is
great.
Wonderful. We have a calendar.
My husband's
out.
The president of the Parkland Library Board.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to hook up with him. Yes. We've put together a calendar that the public gets when we do these library programs that has a lot of tips for financial literacy, budgeting tips. And then in conjunction with the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council, we have the Feed the Pig campaign going on, which is teaching people about saving. I know I've seen a couple of the billboards around. I laugh every time I see the one, and I've seen it a couple of places where it's got a man holding two babies, but the faces of the babies are like Andrew Jackson and Ben Franklin, and it says something about bundles bundles of joy. Well, those are our ad campaigns to help promote saving.
Oh, that's great. Sherry, it has been so much fun having you. I think I need to have you again because it's been a delight.
I've enjoyed it.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us this evening? And how do people reach you if they have any questions?
You can probably reach me. I know a lot of people. I give my email address out to most anybody, so it's cfree@AOL.
And that's free, F-R-E-E-H.
Right. And I'm always, you know, trying to help people answer questions. But PICPA, the PICPA.org website has a lot of information. And, you know, if you have questions, they can answer a lot of the questions, too, with the CPA advisor.
It's a great place to go first.
It is. It really is.
And you can search for your question that maybe has
been
already
answered.
Right,
it may have already been
before.
Answered.
Okay, Sherry, I've loved having you. Thank you so much for being here. And Health at Kathleen, thank you very much for suggesting it. It's been a great show. I want to thank Neil for being here tonight, filling in for Jeff, and thank Andrea for racing down from the mountains to come answer calls this evening. Thank you, callers, for calling in. I really appreciate it, especially Carolyn in Salersburg. I appreciate your continued listenership. Next week, I'm going to have Tom Riddle, president of Valley National Financial Advisors, come on the show to talk about the ups and downs of bond investing. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices each and every week. Have a good one.